Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Thank you, Duke. That is right. You are listening to the Chili Dippers Golf and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. Sitting across me, as always, is a man who on course today tried to convince me that his 50 cent undies were good ones. After telling me that they were uncomfortable, then tried to tell me that, but they're good ones. And they were...
We'd got to about hole 15, I said 14 or 15 or whatever. And I said, geez, I've got new jocks on today. They're brand new. They're not quite settled in yet. They're not quite cherry ripe. And you said, that's because you always buy crap ones. I said, these were $20 underpants.
Yeah.
They were just marked down to $1.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's a bargain. I'll grab two of them. What they are, remember the Will Ferrell movie Elf?
Yep.
They're Will Ferrell Elf jocks.
Okay. Yep.
By Swag. $20 jocks, well, maybe even more.
Yep.
So I thought, $20 jocks for $1, I'll buy that. So, and then I go to scan them, and only one scanned of the two.
Yep.
So I just paid $1 for two of them. So 50. Oh! 50, something just scared me, if you're listening and wondering what that is. 50 cents for two pair, for $40 worth of underpants.
Now,
that's magnificent.
Have you ever seen a pair of Calvin Klein's reduced to $1? Like, have you ever seen some if there were, politics?
If there were Christmas ones with Will Ferrell's face on them, they would be.
My theory is there's probably a reason why they're reduced to $1.
Seasonal. Seasonal. They're quality underpants. They're a quality underpants.
I know, because you went on to show me. You went on as we'll drive into the next hole to unzip your pants and drop your dacks. See the good ones.
You couldn't quite. They weren't. I think part of them was they were sitting a bit high, and normally most of me jocks sit under the fat of me belly. And these, because they're so good, were sort of halfway between where me fat belly becomes flatter belly.
Now we can do what we want, because everyone's tuned out now. People have turned off. So we're just talking to ourselves for the next 25 minutes, 30 minutes now. I've been the Calvin Klein man for years. I went to Hugo Boss, I'm politics, all that sort of stuff. Those Australian-made, or they're probably not made in Australia anymore, those Step One just advertised on
Step Ones, yeah.
Hands down the best ever.
You know, I agree. I looked into those Step Ones, and they said they based their jocks on these Swag ones that I...
I bet they did. Well, look, if you see some Step Ones marked down to $1...
I'll get them.
Buy them all for me.
I'm always in the jock market. I love buying jocks. I've got heaps of them. But $1, wowee.
$1. Oh, shit. All right.
What are we doing?
We had a bit of fun today. We mentioned in one of the other pods that we were going to play a little game that you actually came up with. I don't even know if it's a thing. You just said
probably
that we're
not.
Calling,
I probably just invented it.
Yeah, you just fucking straight off the top of the dome. We're calling it reverse mulligans. People know what a mulligan match is. When you go out and hit a bad one, you get to say, I'm going to use a mulligan. You drop a ball and you try to improve on the shot you just did. This is the opposite. You hit a good one. Your playing partner goes, not so quick, buddy.
Hit that again,
I'm using your reverse mulligan. I want you to hit it again. So we had a little match play competition over 9 holes, and we allowed 9 mulligans.
So we didn't quite know how the flow of the game would go. We're making it up. We didn't know if 9 was too many, enough.
Or is it 1 a hole, or is it 9 overall? Sorry. And then I said, let's make it 9 overall. So if we get to the end, the last hole could just be madness where you're just hitting shot after shot after shot.
Now, part of it is based on hitting good shots and making your opponent hit another good shot. The struggle early on was none of us hit good ones good enough for us to say, geez, you better hit that again. So that was a problem.
Yep.
But then I think whether the golf was the same level or not, you out-mulliganed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, you were, because I think I made you hit one and you hit one pretty much the same. You made me hit an ice cream to drive. You made me hit another one.
There was one where I was on the lip of a greenside bunker, and I had to stand in the bunker, hold the shaft halfway down because the ball was level with me chest, and hit this little bump that ran down to about 2 feet. And you said, "Oh, you can't do that again." Yeah. I hit it to about 1 foot the second time, and then you just went, "Fuck it, you can do that all day." Just,
but then the killer was, and this was this is sort of the plan though. So, haven't played the hole very well. I rolled in probably a 2-3 meter putt.
Yep.
Whatever to win the hole, I'm happy as he goes. I need to see you do that again. And I thought, yeah, well, okay, I've done it once. And it wasn't an overly difficult putt. And I've hit it pretty good. And you've actually bent down to pick it up out of the hole.
I was going to make you putt it again.
Yeah, to do again.
Yep.
But she rolled around the lip and gone. So he used a mulligan to win the hole.
That's what I loved about it.
And that breaks you, though. Like, that's just so disappointing. You've got it. Golf's hard enough.
Yep. And there's a strategy involved. Because you think to yourself, you make a putt. And you think to yourself, I'm going to make him putt that again.
Yeah.
But he's just putted it. So you know the break. You know the...
And you don't want to waste mulligan because you might really need them later. Yeah.
And then when you're hitting into the green, let's say you're 120 out, I was starting to think, not that I can do this on call, I don't think I want to put this 2 feet from the hole because he's just going to make me do it again. No way I'll get it again because sometimes you get lucky out there. And hit it so I was thinking, do I hit this to 15 foot trot? Like, again,
yeah,
not
I know what you mean,
but
yeah.
Was I
was just thinking
so he doesn't make me use me mulligan here and I'll just go up and two putt it.
And like normal, you were one up, I was one up, you got one or two up, so on and so on. And then I think we got to about eight and I've had to play a wedge over the bunker.
Yep.
And that had been my weakness for the last 6 months or so.
Yep.
But the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've really sorted it out. So I was happy. So I've banked soft hands, beautiful, light
middle
wedge.
Of the green, no worries.
Like a butterfly with sore feet, just beautiful. Yep. And then you go play it again. I said, beautiful. You've wasted one.
I'll do this all day.
And I just bladed the shit. Cut at the ball. Just a completely different swing. The ball never got
a foot off the
air.
Left a burn mark right across the
green. And it just flew
across. It was
the
most satisfying thing I've ever seen on the golf course.
It was so different. I just lost it.
Because the funny thing was, when you played the first one, it looked so simple.
Oh, it was.
And you just went chink in the air. And then roll down, and I said, I'm going to have to make this. And then in my head, I'm thinking, oh, fuck, you just do this again. I thought, there's a slight chance he could blade. We've all played in one of these before. And just and then because you'd done it exactly how I drew it up in my head. God, it was satisfying.
And then I played it. If you put imagine a split screen of the two swings, you would have thought you're on a different course playing a different shot. It was nothing like it. It was just mental.
It was a good fun game. What we could have done was thrown in some actual mulligans. So, because you know, we said we played so poorly.
Yep.
So you have a bad shot, you think, fuck it, I'm using mulligan. Then you hit a good one, and then you reverse back, so you're hitting your third one.
Actually, what we need to do is we need to get Uno cards.
Yeah, and hold them up.
And hold them up. But so if you're playing golf and you're having some fun with your mate, reverse mulligan. Is a good fun game.
And in true Disco and Cannon style, we did not we were playing match play.
You watch proper golfers play match play, and they halve 15 of the first 16 holes, and then someone else.
Yep.
We never halve a hole.
We went Dave, me, Dave, me, Dave, me for the win. Like, we didn't. And the mistake we made, you only used 3 mulligans,
three
and I only
nine.
Used 4 of 9. So that's the thing. Towards the last, we should have just been replaying
every
shot.
We need to develop
our
reverse mulligan game because I said that's the first game of it ever been played because I invented
good fun.
It.
Yeah.
So we need to develop that. But it was good fun. But using the mulligan for them to lose the hole was the most.
Oh,
sad.
It was so much
normal
fun.
Felt nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, we should really switch all our majors to this sort of stuff. It was actually a lot more fun than I originally gave it credit for. Right, now you've said to me this morning, you've got a little something. You've come up with an idea for the pod.
I've got something. We've done a few musical things and they've worked well.
Right.
Big Billy Joel fan?
Me?
Yes. I know, you love him. So do I. Big Billy Joel fan. So I've got this idea that I said, we're doing this on the fly. We haven't rehearsed it.
Zero idea what's coming up.
I don't have much more than that myself. Well, just before, you know, Billy's coming out with new music. First time in 25 years or something.
I did not know that.
There you go. That's what inspired this. New music from Billy Joel coming out shortly.
Wow.
Now,
that is exciting.
You're aware of We Didn't Start the Fire?
Heard the song? No, all the lyrics.
Good. No, that's good. No, that's fine. Yeah. I'm not going to. Know all the lyrics. Now, when you say you know all the lyrics, do you know what they're referring to?
No.
I'm going to give you a history, because it's a history test.
Yep.
I'm going to read you the lyric,
yep.
And I just want the quick bang, because don't get me wrong, I haven't checked them and I don't know them either.
Okay, yep.
But we're going to see if we actually know what the lyrics for. I'm going to go to you first. If you don't know it, I'll say okay. I do know it and tell you what it is,
yep.
Or we move to the next one. So, do you know what the first word?
Harry Truman.
Yep. What's it referring to? Who's Harry Truman?
Not sure.
U.S. president.
I was going to say he's a U.S. president.
Doris Day.
Actor, music? Actor?
Actress, predominantly, yep. Yeah, blonde, cute, yep. Blonde actress from the 50s or 60s. Yep. Red China?
Mm.
Probably just the China, and yep. Red means communist.
Okay, yep.
Yep. Johnny Ray?
No idea.
I don't know who Johnny Ray is either. Yep. South Pacific? That would be something going on in the South Pacific war-wise,
yeah.
I think.
Walter Mitchell next?
Walter, it's actually Walter Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah.
No idea who he is?
No. Nah.
Joe DiMaggio?
Baseball.
Baseballer. Joe McCartney?
Nah.
Richard Nixon? Come on.
President.
Is it US president? Studebaker?
Television. Isn't that a brand?
No, that's two.
Oh, that's a car. Yeah, exactly. Studebaker, yeah.
Studebaker's a car. Television.
That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, yep. Television.
Because that's the
then
next
it
slip.
Says North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Oh, no, I assume yep. You know what all them are. Let's know it. So, the Rosenbergs?
Rosenbergs,
I think they were like the US's wealthiest family in the 40s or 50s, a really rich political family. H-bomb? Sugar Ray?
Boxer?
Yeah. Oh, I can't even... Pamina John? I don't know what that is. Sugar Ray? P-A-N-M...
That's just one of those lyrics where you just say, you sing how it sounds. Yeah. I've got no idea what the word is, yep.
Brando?
Yeah, the actor.
What's his first name?
Marlon.
Yep, beautiful. The King and I?
Is it a book?
It was a. I think movie? It was a play that play, was made
yeah,
into a movie.
More, yeah, okay.
Yul
yep.
Brenner played the king and won an Oscar in the movie for the... The Catcher in the Rye?
That is a book.
That's a book, yep. Eisenhower.
Another president?
Another president, I think. Vaccine? I don't know which vaccine. England's got a new queen. That'd be... When the Queen. Marciano.
Boxer.
Liberace.
The composer.
Piano player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Composer.
No. He was more of a showman. Like he wore the big gold rings and a big Vegas showman. Yeah. Santiana Goodbye. I don't know what that is. We didn't start the fire. It's always been blah, 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 blah. That's the terse of yours. I'm not sure that segment's working. Did you see what I was trying to do?
Yeah. I mean, because we're big Billy Joel fans, it works because of the song.
And the point being, it's funny, like we know the song inside out.
Yeah,
but half the lyrics,
right.
We're saying a word that we don't know who they are, what they did, all that sort of stuff.
I remember when I was little, like, because I was big Billy, like, having the, because, you know, it didn't have the internet, you couldn't look the lyrics up. So I used to hit the play, stop, play, stop. We used to write it all down and try to work out what the lyrics were.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's done in a chronological order, but I don't know if it restarts each verse and goes back to...
Yeah.
Because you know what happened? He turned 40 and he thought, geez, a lot of things have happened in my life, and wrote this song.
Yep.
And have you heard the recent... I think Green Day have done it from now to
really?
The last 20 years.
No, I didn't. That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, because that's what...
And what, they, what have they called it? We Didn't Start the Fire?
I don't know. But I listened to the Green Day one, and I knew everything they sang, because it's been in the last 20 years of my life. And it's funny, this one, I'm a bit older than you. But yeah, there's plenty, you think you know the song, but you should, because I think they did teach this in schools, because it's a great way of kids to learn history. But I'm not sure that segment was as punchy as it needed to be. We won't do the whole song. More of a behind-the-scenes look for the listeners to how a segment might be born, rather than do that, practice it off air and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see if it works. See if it doesn't. It didn't quite work, but
It's that we're keeping it, staying in there.
Okay.
All right. Now we're going to go on to a segment we haven't done in a while, which is the old rules segment, which we actually do have a stinger for.
Do
if
we?
You give me 1 second.
Okay.
I can follow the rules, I can follow the rules,
we had this.
And we'll have a good day when we follow the rules.
So, stinger update, That's only ordinary. Don't worry about a stinger for the we didn't start the fire lyrics. Do we know what they mean? But I still want one for unanswerable questions. I reckon that's...
Okay, so it's been on the pod enough, it probably
Yeah, no matter how much you hate it. So what are we doing? Some rules.
Some rules.
So you generally make up a scenario, run it by me,
Happened, and you tell me what... Okay, this was... I was playing with a guy named David Speedy, old Speedway. He's follows us on Instagram.
Does he? Okay, yep. Speedy.
Yep, this was at Brookwater on the 4th.
Ooh, good course.
Speedway was complaining about a legal hole position when the pin was 1.5 metres from the edge of the green.
Ah.
Does he have a point?
Yes, I think he does. I think I've heard somewhere along the line that holes have to be placed a certain amount from the edge of the green. And I think it was further in than 1.5 metres.
Wow. I thought the same as well.
Well, that might have been where I heard it from. I might have been getting false information from you.
There is nothing in the rules of golf about hole location. So there is no such thing as an illegal hole location. The USGA publication How to Conduct a Competition does, however, recommend the hole location be at least 4 paces from the edge of the putting green. But no specific rule.
Yeah. Okay. So
Speedway.
No grounds for complaint.
That's right. Now this, I snuck out the other day and had to go for schnoz. Schnoz. You were in Melbourne, so we didn't bother telling
golfer
you about
of the
it.
Year, golfer Robert Pinozzo. Yeah. Wowee. What is he? The big sleaze. He's a WAF genius.
Right. So it was my shot, right? I was in the middle of the fairway. Schnoz was down the fairway a fair bit, right? Yeah. And I called out to him, mate, I'm about to have me shot. Oh, sorry, So he stepped aside. He stepped all the way over to where the fence was, right?
Yeah.
I've hit this hybrid, big slice going hard out of bounds, right? Goes hard out of bounds, but hits Snoz in the chest, right?
Oh, yep.
Right? But still bounces off him, but still goes out of bounds.
Yes.
I yelled four, but he couldn't get out of the way in time. But so the ball's hit him and gone out of bounds. So am I out of bounds? Is there a penalty to me or him or what?
So what's the play? I think there's a penalty for him for getting in the road, and I think you dropped the ball where it hit him because he was standing in bounds. You can't be penalised for the out of bounds bounce off someone in bounds who shouldn't have been there to start with.
I like that answer. Yeah. It's not correct, but I liked it because I thought you would have just said it's out of bounds, bad luck
thing. No.
But you actually, there's no penalty for anyone. I just get to replay the shot from where I was.
Oh, from back in the fairway, you replay it. Wow.
Yep, I'm sure he's not overly happy about the situation. I can replay it from the fairway. Yep.
All right. Gee. Yeah. No, I thought there'd be penalties everywhere. Sort of. Wow. All right.
Now, this is interesting because this happened to Chops and I. Again, we snuck out for a hit of golf, Chops and I.
I bet Chops had a cart. His knee's ordinary. He struggles to walk around 18.
Yep, he was in a cart. And this also happened to you one day in Wodonga. So this was Chops and I. This is when we're in Macau. You slept in one day. We slipped out to the Macau Country Club, right?
Yep.
And Chops said, where we were playing, there was a bit of a stream, flowing water running through the hole, right? Yep. And Chops hit his shot into the stream.
Yeah.
But the ball was moving.
Okay.
So the ball was rolling, going down the stream, right?
Yeah.
So Chops just walked up to it. It'd come back about sort of 10 minutes by the time we got there. Chops just took out his 9-iron and just whacked it out of the water on the move onto the green. Dodgy?
Wow.
Not dodgy.
I would think there's a you can't hit a moving ball rule.
Very you good. Again...
That's my thought process. Yeah, you're not allowed to hit a moving ball rule. Maybe 2-shot penalty or something like that.
Again, I'm loving your thought process. Again, you're wrong. But it's a great answer. Rather than take a penalty for hitting the ball in a hazard, you can without penalty hit a ball in a water while it's in motion.
Wow.
It says that's right. It's a rare instance where you can hit the ball while it's moving. But there's one catch, rule 14-16. A player may, without penalty, make a stroke, but he must not delay the stroke in order to allow wind or the current or to improve the ball. So you can walk up and hit it, but you can't go, I'm going to wait till it's there because that'll be better.
Yep.
So, you can play, you can play the moving ball. Because remember in Wodonga, you hit it. Remember that sort of big concrete thing that runs...
Is that an Aubrey?
Aubrey.
Yeah,
you hit it there and it was your orange ball and we could see it just going down
I remember. Yep.
So you could have ran in there and just smacked that out.
Very good.
All right, we'll just a couple more.
Do you want me to do?
Well, have you got some?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Oh, sorry.
I've got a couple of genuine questions that I hope you know.
I probably won't.
Yeah, okay. So you hit your ball up the fairway.
Yep.
If it's in a divot, that's bad luck.
Yes,
we know
which
that.
Which I reckon is bullshit anyway.
All right. So it's next to a divot, but it's a really big divot, and your stance is in the divot. Are you allowed to fill the divot?
Oh, fill the divot?
Yeah, allowed to fill the divot because your stance or get relief or anything.
I don't reckon you'd be able to get relief. My guess would be no, you couldn't fill it because you'd be improving your lie.
Exactly. You can't fill the divot if someone else hasn't filled it meant to.
Yeah.
And you stand there. That's when the rules suck, that it's someone else being a jerk has penalised you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you fill the divot, it is the two-shot penalty.
Yeah, right, okay, yep. You want to go again or do you...
I've got two more.
I've got two more?
Yep.
All right, so this is... Look, we already know you can pick up a bit of grass and throw it in the air to check the wind direction.
Yep, I do it all.
Did you
time.
Also know you could take out a handkerchief and hold it up and check the wind direction or the smoke from a cigar for the same purpose? You're allowed to do that.
There's a story about one, I think, Tiger's caddy actually using his smoke to get the wind direction at a famous time. Yeah, yep.
Yep, well, this happened to me when I was out playing with CT, Court Taylor.
Oh, yeah, wow, that's a blast from the past.
Yep. And it was pretty windy, and we were discussing which way the wind was going. We were arguing back and forth, and he pulled out a windsock. Pulled out an actual windsock, held it up, and went, down fan, changed clubs, knocked it onto the green. Can you use a windsock?
If you can use a hanky, I think you can use a windsock, yep. Windsock, fine.
You cannot use a windsock. Why? Because a windsock is used for the sole purpose of testing
it's
the wind.
An official wind tester,
which is a big no-no in the
grass
penalty.
And hankies you're just playing with.
Yep, grass, smoke, hanging on the other hand, serve purposes other than specifically testing the wind.
Oh, well, very good. I'm learning a bit here. Now, all right, so you're in the middle of the fairway.
Yep.
You go to play a big wedge and you hit about a foot behind the ball,
right,
and make a continuous divot that sort of
curves
over
like a wave
curves over on top of the ball.
Yep.
So the ball's there and it's covered by a huge divot. What's your play? So your divot's still connected to the ground.
Yeah. Because the ball's not embedded. I reckon I could probably move the divot if my ball... Oh, is it loose? Not loose impediment, is it? I reckon it's stiff shit.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's stiff shit.
Yeah.
You just got to hit from behind and hope it comes out.
Would you imagine that...
Yeah, I was going to say you probably got to be folded back.
Yeah, I would have thought you could fold it back too.
Because you can't, when you're in the bushes, you can't, like, if there's a... Like, you can move a stick out of the road, but if there's a...
Growing branch.
Yeah, like you can't grab it. We all know you can't break it, but a lot of people just
bend it and
hook it behind another bit of branch or something. But again, I think that's improving your life.
I do that
all
the time.
All right, this is a simple one. This actually happened to me at Black Bull the other day.
Yeah.
I was using a driver, had Brad's handcrafted hazardous shaft in it.
Oh,
I hit the drive on 7.
Yeah.
No problems. Put the driver away.
Yeah.
Got to 8's a par 3, didn't worry about that. Got to the 9th,
pulled
the driver out, put it under my armpit, pegged the ball up, took my stance, gripped the shaft, and as I held out, the shaft just went and bent in half, snapped somehow in the grip. This is a true story.
Yep.
Simple question. Yep. Am I allowed to change that club if I've got another driver in the car or go to the pro shop and ask?
I think if you break a club during a round, that's bad luck.
You'll get one of these right eventually.
I've heard that for sure.
On pro golf, different for us.
I'm giving the pro golf.
Actually, I don't know if this. Because
the rule, like when they snap their putter angularly.
Exactly. This sounds weird. But the rules of golf say it depends.
Really?
If you cause the club to break by throwing it, slamming it, it cannot be replaced.
Ah.
But if it breaks under natural forces.
Wow.
Yeah, for example, you hit
the
ball.
So if you're hitting, like
hit
your bed's up against a tree and your club swings around the tree and breaks.
Yeah, in
a normal shot, you can replace it.
You can replace it. Yeah, because like I said, that's a truth. All the others obviously aren't true. That is true. Yeah. And I was thinking, do I have to play? Because it was only at the 9th. I thought, do I have to play with? And it might have helped me not using the driver that day. But and I just walked in and said to the guys behind the pro shop, this is just what happened. Can I? And they said, yeah, you can take a new driver. And they didn't have one, so I played it with a three wood. But yeah, wow. I wasn't 100% sure at the time either.
Now, I don't know if I've asked this before, but if the time looking for a ball, it's two minutes, isn't it?
Three
minutes. So you hit your ball.
Yep.
And then if you hit a provige next to that ball, have you got 6 minutes? Have you got 3 minutes to look for your first ball?
Yep.
Then 3 minutes to look for the second ball?
Yep.
And what if you find the first ball while you're looking for the second one?
Once that 3 minutes is up, your first ball's gone.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. All right, now what about this? Say you just hit it and you think, I'll find that.
Again, this is what I think, and I'm pretty confident on that one.
What about this? So you just hit it and you think, okay, I'll find that. When does your 3 minutes start?
Yeah, this is always going
to... Because if I'm 10 metres from the ball and see it, I've found it. But if I'm 10 metres from the ball, have I started... And I'm looking.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But have I started until I say I've started looking?
Yeah, yeah. I don't
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't think there's an exact this is when it starts because, again...
Well, there has to be because there's an exact...
I know,
when
I know.
Remember when we were at the Heritage, that's what got me thinking about it. At the Heritage, he had to go back and hit it because the rules official said, your time's up.
Yeah.
So she obviously started a stopwatch.
Because
the other thing
too
is... Were the other playing partners looking for it as they walked forward because they were first up and all that?
I think it's one of those when you get to the general area and actually start. And the other thing I often think too is generally it's easier to find a ball if four of you are looking. So if you're fair dinkum,
you'd be last to get there.
Or you just wait. Just wait until your playing partners are all, said, let's go look now. Because sometimes you'll go and look for your 3 minutes and they walk over and you're like, well...
And the other thing is obviously... Walk, but say you think it went 250, but you're not sure. It might have went 260 or 260. Walk to the 270 bit before you officially start looking.
So that little 10 minutes doesn't count.
So the walking, those 10, 20 metres of walking.
The number one rule broken golf by a long, long way. Accidental or not. And how many times you just, like, if you're looking for a ball and you call a group through, you look for 20 minutes while they're playing through.
Because there's no official when you start looking.
Yeah.
If you hit two balls, so I thought that was a strange one.
Yeah, I've got a heap more, but we'll leave it at that.
Well, yeah, because I've got a bit of a life advice, but it might be a bit longer.
All right, we're going to end the pod here with some life advice.
I haven't been great the life advice the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I've got one here. This is fair dinkum.
Okay, good.
Now, a mate of ours, who was one of the great athletes of all time as a youngster. He was an amazing, carved out of granite, Greek god style athlete.
Sherwin.
No, I'm not. We're not naming names because he hasn't aged perfectly. He's let himself go a smidge. but he. Now we've sort of mentioned it before, but he's ice bathing. He's made the jump to ice bathing.
Love this.
And he's doing a few other things as well. Lifestyle changes. The ice bathing. He just cannot get enough. It's torture when you're in it, but as soon as you're out, it said 5 years younger every time, brand new.
I can see this being the case.
Stripping the calories off, energy renewed, all that sort of stuff. And it said, this bloke, he said, was blessed with everything you want as a younger man. And don't get me wrong, we all aged not magnificently, but... decided it was time.
Yep.
And so I've tried the... because you can start just the cold shower.
Yep.
I can't even do it. I just can't do it. The closest I can do is... So I can have the shower away from me, turn it on cold, and I can put my hands under it and splash it on my face.
What about...
That's the closest I can do.
And does this even count? Like, can you get into like your normal temperature that you love and just... Get colder and colder and colder. Oh, so I can do it
a little bit, but to when it's cold though, but not super cold. It's just not warm. Yeah. You know, it's room temperature.
I've been torn on the idea of getting one of because it's getting pretty popular. This whole ice bath, and you can just buy the little ones for your backyard.
He's got a little one. He's got
but because I've rent the house out, I don't want it sitting there. I don't want anyone else getting it. So I've been torn on the idea.
But yeah, said he's done the research because apparently the Swedish people, I think they do the cold shower, the 5 minutes at the end of every cold shower, and it adds years to the life and just has so. It's not just the anti-inflammatory stuff that we used to think about it when we did it after footy. There's health benefits everywhere. So I just wanted to. That's the life advice, and we've got real life experience doing it.
Yep. Now that's great. Now the same person who you're talking about. A long time ago, I went on a golf trip with him, and he was using one of those Shakti mats. You know those mats with all the spikes on them.
Oh yeah.
And he swore by it. He reckons lay down. And he goes, "It's only for the big boys, eh? Like it's pay more."
He's one of the big boys.
Yeah. I just a couple of weekends ago played Kingston Heath in the final of the state final of football, and my back was playing up really sore.
Yeah.
And I was just like, we're waiting for the green to clear ahead of us. And we're walking these two guys because you can't take a cart in these things unless you've got a medical certificate.
Which I've done.
Yeah. And these blokes were in a cart. They were claiming gout and all this sort of stuff, right? And so I was doing the old bending down and like just stretching the back while I was waiting. He goes, he just looked at me and he goes, "Back no good, mate." And I said, it's playing up a little bit. And he goes, "Shakti Matt, mate." He goes, "Fuck you, mate. Go on them." He goes, "It'll change your life. You'll be 20 years younger, mate." He goes, "I've got mates that have had dodgy backs for years." And we went on to entire. Yeah, so he swore by one. I went, "Ah, I said, I got a mate who was swearing by one of those." And I'm not far off trying that either.
Yep. So, there you go. There's some real life advice for you.
Shakti Matt. All right, we're going to leave the podcast here.
Well, you betcha.
And until next time, get yourself a big stick and swing it in the dirt, Chili Dippers.
Out. Trash, take another good hit, try to make it.